Right.
It was somewhat larger than the cabin that we had on the smaller boat that we crossed from on the Baltic and the North Sea to London. We were thrilled when we arrived in New York Harbor, and all the passengers got out and looked at the Statue of Liberty as we came up the harbor. And I can't tell you what part of New York we docked in, but I believe it was on the Hudson River side. We went through immigration, and our eyelids were turned to see whether we had trachoma or not, and we were met by a man who spoke Yiddish with us, and told us that he was represented the Pennsylvania Railroad, and that they had all the arrangements in order to take us to whatever destination we were going. Curiously, my mother had, as soon as she got to London, England, she sent a cablegram to my dad, and which she prepaid, but my dad never received it. And so he didn't really know that we were coming. We traveled overnight from New York to Pittsburgh, and the journey was rather uneventful on the on the boat. We were youngsters, we were playing and so forth. We ate in the second class dining room. The boat had, I think, three classes, first, second, and third. It was a very nice boat, and it was a rather large ship. Probably about 25,000 ton from what I learned afterwards.
What was the train like?
The train ride had we had an episode on the train. My brother liked to sit near the window, and the train either collided with another train or stopped suddenly, and his head struck the side of the window casing. And he got a split, and my mother called for a doctor, and they stopped the bleeding. There was no doctor. And the next day, my brother arrived with a blood-stained coat, overcoat, which he was wearing in Pittsburgh. Well, when we got to the railway station and in Pittsburgh and disembarked, my dad didn't know, but they contacted Father, and he came down. We hadn't seen him, of course, for maybe 4 or 5 years, and but it was a very happy family reunion.
Where did you live when you first came to Pittsburgh?
When we came to Pittsburgh, we stayed for 2 weeks with my oldest uncle, Samuel Aronson, had a big house, and he had 5 sons and 2 daughters in that house, a very wonderful wife, and about 4 or 5 acres. It was on Breckenridge Avenue in Pittsburgh, and we stayed there for 2 weeks. And then there was there were some new homes that had been built in the Hill District, across from the old Moorhead School. And I remember the name of the street was Beamer Street. And across another street, about 50 or 60 feet away, was a was a section where colored people lived. And we became friendly with the kids there. And one of them became quite a well-known athlete. And he and my brother were very close friends. In fact, this man was a patient of mine when I was still in practice in recent years. His name was Jefferson, Don Jefferson. He and my brother were classmates in high school. Well, I went to the Moorhead School, and then my father had a store which he had opened about 1904 or 1905 in Upper Fifth Avenue in Pittsburgh. My dad, of course, spoke English well, because at the age of 20, when he left, originally left Russia to escape the army service, he went and lived in Hull, England. I had omitted that portion of my father's life, and I'm going to insert it here. His parents, who were apparently well fixed at that time, hired someone else to take his place in the army, and that was the arrangement, so that he could come back to Russia.
What kind of store did he have?
He had a jewelry store. He didn't have a jewelry store at that time. He was only 20 years old.
No, I mean when you said he had a store in Upper Fifth Avenue.
He had a jewelry store. And in the jewelry store, his main work was repairing watches, repairing jewelry, selling watches and jewelry, and he was also an optometrist. So and later on, he took the optometry board was organized years later, in about the time of towards the end of the First World War. People were required to take an examination to get a license in optometry, because optometrists had not been licensed until that time. The legislature passed an act requiring licensure, and he took the examination, and we still have his old diploma. But going back to my father's early years in 1920 and so, from there, he had an offer to become an assistant. He was a journeyman watchman. And he had an offer to become a journeyman in Holland. So he left for Hull, England, and moved to a place called De Helder, H-E-L-D-E-R, in Holland, Northern Holland, I guess. And I'm not sure about that. Where he lived for a couple of years, learned to speak Dutch, and became a really expert watchmaker, he felt, in comparison to what he had been before. He now became a master watchmaker. And then after that, he returned to Libau, where he met my mother about 1893, and married her in 1894. Well, our early years in this country, we of course went to school. First we went to the English class, and the principal, whose name was Nancy Mackerel, took a great interest in us. And she would follow our standing in the various classes.
Tell me something about the English class. What was that, a class just for just for immigrants?
It was a class for immigrants.
And when was it taught? During?
It was held a regular class, and it was a third grade class, but all the children who would belong in first, second grade, or older, were put in that third grade, and we learned to speak English. We stayed in that class about 3 months. I think we arrived in Pittsburgh on February the 6th, 1906, and we were soon put in school
Was that class at the same school where you went after?
At the old Moorhead School. At that time, that was the 11th Ward. At the present time, it's called the 5th Ward. Pittsburgh was redistricted. Well, after a year's residence, or maybe a year and a half residence, up on Beamer Street, the rooms above my father's store were vacated. The people gave up their lease, and we moved down and lived above my dad's store.
Were there many classes like that in other schools also, or just at the Moorhead School?
I can't tell you. Curiously, we soon... I wanted to speak Russian to some of the kids who came from Russia, but they soon had forgotten their Russian. And so in my father's store, when we moved down to Fifth Avenue, I had occasion to help my dad, and I used to come down after school and help my dad. So when I was 11 years old, I began to work after school in my dad's store repairing clocks. And that gave me, I had a bent for mechanical work. And I enjoyed that. And my father had his bench on the left-hand side facing the front of the store in one window. And in the other window, there was a room for another bench. So a watchmaker's bench. So I actually repaired my clocks there. And I had quite an experience in working with clocks. I used to do that after school until I graduated high school.
When did you graduate from Moorhead School?
I graduated from Moorhead School in 1909. We were promoted into the fourth grade, and within a year, I was in the fifth grade, and then a short time in the sixth grade, and from there I was promoted into the eighth grade. I was an honor graduate of Moorhead School. I think I was the high honor graduate there, and I got a gold medal. It was sort of a pin at that time, which was awarded by one of the Pittsburgh newspapers to the graduates of the various schools who had made the highest grade in the high school entrance examination. We had to take high school entrance examination in those days. They were abolished about 4 or 5 years later. I entered the Pittsburgh Central High School, which was on Bedford Avenue. And I was very fortunate because I wanted to pursue an academic course in preparation for engineering. I pursued the academic course, and I enjoyed the high school very much. We had an excellent faculty.
What happened to people who didn't pass the high school exam? I know nothing about the high school exam.
They couldn't enter high school if they didn't pass the entrance exam.
And that was true throughout the state or the country or what?
That was true certainly in Pittsburgh. That must have been true in the rest of Pennsylvania. Later on, the children had to go to school until they were 16 years old.
At that time, was it not necessary?
No, it wasn't necessary. The you went to school until unless you dropped out until you were graduated the public school. The principal in our school took a great interest in us, and I think I can feel that one of the reasons that we graduated so early, at the same time as the other children, in spite of the fact that we had to learn English, that I made up my time and graduated at the age of 14, which today is about the average age for graduating public school. Going back to my high school faculty, we had a fantastic faculty. They were better than the faculty that I had in engineering school when I entered engineering school later. I was on the honor list at the high school, and my principal called me. I was going to go to Tech because that was going to be the cheaper school to go to, Carnegie Tech, and my dad wasn't really in position to pay my college tuition. So the principal called me in one day, and he said, I suppose you're not going to be interested in the honor scholarship. I said, tell me, what is that about? Well, he said, we have a four-year honor scholarship to the University of Pittsburgh, and that will pay your way. I said, well, let me think about that. And naturally, I took the scholarship and I entered engineering school. When I entered engineering school, the head of the mathematics department became quite interested in me, and he used me as a tutor to teach other boys that had a little difficulty in the higher mathematics. So that was my early experience in teaching others. I enjoyed that, and I used to get 50 cents an hour for that, and so that gave me some pocket money. In addition to that...
Do you remember any of the names, the principal of the school, of your high school?
He's an interesting man. I could call up someone who might remind me of the name. He was a minister, and he was also... But the head of the high schools at that time was Reinerson. Edward Reinerson was the head of the high schools.
Did you have many friends while you were going through school?
Oh, yes. I had a great many friends in high school. Curiously, some of them were artists, and there was one chap by the name of Bill Wolfson who was a close friend of mine, very close. His parents operated a restaurant on Upper Fifth Avenue, and Bill was the class artist, and throughout his 4 years. And there was another chap by the name of Wheeler, who was also an artist, and he became well known in Pittsburgh. Wolfson was well known, but moved to the West Coast, and I lost track of him after that.
Were the teachers very strict in school?
There was order. There was never any disorder class in the public school, there were occasional pranks.
Did they keep order at that time?
It was just the respect that we had for the faculty. Occasionally someone would be sent down to the principal's office, but that was rare. In the high school, we had a demerit system. And if you were absent, you got so many demerits. Or if you misbehaved, you got so many demerits.
What happened if you accumulated a lot of demerits?
Well, then you had to bring your parents to school or something like that. And but I didn't have those problems. We had one teacher who was rather strict, and if the boys would run in the hall, why, he would give them demerits. His name was P.M. Dysart, D-Y-S-A-R-T. He was an excellent physics teacher. And if you did well in chemistry and physics and in mathematics, you could be elected to the shop gang. That was sort of an honor.
Who was that?
And the shop gang was a group which was allowed to work in a special shop for the students to make instruments for the department and construct other things that would be of use in the teaching of physics. So in my junior year, I became a member of the shop gang, a member of the mathematics club, and it was a very fine school. We had, Dave Glick in Pittsburgh. He was one of my classmates.
Were there other high schools in Pittsburgh besides Central High School?
I'll tell you about it. George Wasser was one of my classmates. Alexander Cooper was one of my classmates. The Rabbi Levy's daughter was one of my classmates, the one that married Falk, I think.
Ruth Falk.
Yes,
Ruth Levy.
Ruth Levy. And she was a very bright girl. There were very few black students in the high school, but the Central High was so well regarded that people would come from the suburbs. And I remember there was a well-known architect by the name of Stotts in Pittsburgh. And they lived in New Kensington, and he would send his son down to Pittsburgh to the Central High in order. Norman Stotts was afterwards president of the class, was one of the members of our class.
Were there other high schools in Pittsburgh?
Now, the other high schools were the Fifth Avenue High School, which had a normal school, and a business school. The South High School, and over in Allegheny, which was then not part of Pittsburgh, it was the Allegheny High School. In my sophomore year, the Fifth Avenue High School also opened an academic department. And so some of the men, the boys, went down to Fifth Avenue because it was closer to their home. I remained at Central High, where I graduated in 1913.
When were you graduated from the School of Engineering?
I didn't graduate the School of Engineering. When I was along in the School of Engineering for about a year and a half, I ran into a lot of anti-Semitism. My mother didn't want me to study engineering, and she pointed out to me that if I was an engineer, I'd always have to work for somebody else. And in those days, we respected our parents very much, respected their opinion. My dad and I would have polemic discussions about one thing or another, but he wasn't going to interfere. But my mother was outspoken. And so I switched over to the college. And
did your scholarship worked for the college engineering.
And that was nice. And so in another year and a half, I got my degree on engineering subjects chiefly engineering subjects from the college.
What year was that?
When I went into 1916, I got my bachelor's degree. In the meantime, I had entered medical school. I entered medical school in the fall of 1915. But that summer of 1915, I got a job with the Westinghouse Electric, just a summer job, to repair meters. And I was working in the meter repair department, which is where the J.A. Williams is located now, on Amberson Avenue, at Shadyside. There was a Pennsylvania Railroad stop there, Shadyside. The Westinghouse had a department there where they were making coils for motors and also building switchboards. So I got a job as a meter repairman. After 2 weeks, the superintendent called me and he said, "You studied engineering?" I said, "Yes." He said, "How, you know anything about building switchboards?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "You sure you didn't build any switchboards?" I said, "I built a switchboard for a single panel, you know, in a shop game in high school." He said, "Well, go over to Janssen. He's our switchboard engineer. He is leaving in 2 weeks, and see what you can learn from him." So I became the engineer in the switchboard department for Westinghouse, and I was the engineer there from 1915 through 1918. I had to leave there because I had enlisted in the Army and was assigned to the flu epidemic hospitals. I was already in medical school.
Did you go to medical school before you were graduated from the University of Pittsburgh?
From the college. In my last year in college, I spent...
You started medical school while you were in the last year.
That's right.
You got your bachelor's degree from the University of Pittsburgh after you had had 1 year of medical school.
Then did you work for Westinghouse while you were going to medical school?
So that's right. So at the end of the summer 1915, I went up to my superintendent and I said, "Mr. Rumble, I've enjoyed working here." He said, "We're glad to have you here." He says, "What's your problem?" I said, "I want to go back to school." I said, "I might be able to work for you after school or in my spare time." "Well," he says, "that would be all right with me. We'll try that." And so I continued to work for Westinghouse while I was an engineer in medical school, from the summer, beginning of the summer of 1915 till the end of the summer in 1918. I was then a senior in medical school, and had in our, in 1917, war was declared, and the whole class enlisted in the Army. So we were made, we were given the rank of private and in the medical corps, and we stayed in the medical school, and in the early fall of 1918, we were assigned to the hospital.
What year of medical school were you in?
That was the beginning of my
senior year. Is when you were assigned full-time to the Army.
It was assigned full-time in the hospital. Mm-hmm. When the epidemic was over, we were allowed to go back to school. Well, this was a break for me because the money that I had earned in Westinghouse helped pay my tuition in medical school, which was much more than the honor scholarship would pay for. That had already run out. The government also picked up our book costs and the rest of our tuition, so we were discharged from the army I'll get another